B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Thursday, May 2nd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WWKB 1520 in Buffalo and ESPN Radio 97.7, 100.1 and 1200 AM in Syracuse, New York. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, Forbes did a piece in their magazine this week talking about Star Citizen, and it's got us wondering if there's any comparison in entertainment history. Plus, NetherRealm is seeing a lot of backlash over their choice of casting Ronda Rousey as Sonya Blade. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Joe over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming News Update with Joe Sloan.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
Epic Games has scored a major win. This week, they agreed to terms to acquire Psyonix. For those who don't know, Psyonix is the company that makes Rocket League. In the immediate future, no changes are being made to the Psyonix team, who will continue developing the game as they were. The company will continue to support players who own the game on Steam, though whether the game will remain being sold on Steam in the long term remains to be seen.
This goes one of two ways. All right, either this is going to go downhill fast for Rocket League, as Epic takes a very Fortnite approach to it, or Epic has an esport they can actually do some amazing things.
I think Rocket League will be fine. I think its install base is too entrenched, it's too loyal. I think enough people play this game. Yeah, all Epic will have to do is put a little bit more money behind it, and Rocket League will be perfectly fine. I don't think it can be meddled with too much.
Right, lean on Psyonix to keep running that esport scene. They're doing a good job of it so far. Why change anything?
Absolutely.
I'll tell you what. If I were Epic Games right now, I would take it down off Steam, put it on the Epic Store, and make it free. That would be my power move.
Yeah, no kidding.
The future of Epic Games on Steam remains unclear, but one place Epic Games won't be allowed is the Boston Red Sox clubhouse. The defending World Series champions have banned Fortnite from their clubhouse.
Oh man.
Never mind that Fortnite was played prior to games all last year when they won the World Series. The team is off to a slow start this year and has decided to eliminate the potential distraction.
I think this has got to be some of the most ludicrous reactionary stories that I've heard of, where professional teams are like, these video games are a problem.
Yeah,
like,
you need to take a look inward at this point.
Honestly, I think that, you know, like, I've heard all of the arguments about team cohesion and, like, oh, it makes people go off and do their own thing. I have not heard one valid argument that says we need to be, dictating how these players spend their time when they're not.
This is a little different because this is inside the clubhouse of the actual team.
This isn't in your downtime. This is in your prep time.
Yeah, this is like immediately before a game, but if you're
on the road with the team, it's going to extend to that as well. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's a cultural problem that I think needs to be addressed, and I think that they're just scapegoating it, and I don't think that they're going to see any real results because of it.
Gamescom is one of the largest video game conferences of the year. In fact, by attendance, it's the largest, as it attracts nearly 350,000 people a year. One major company has elected not to attend this year. Blizzard Games has said they will not be attending this year as they put a greater focus on game development and towards making BlizzCon bigger and better than ever.
Do they normally go?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
Oh.
Yes, they have been at Gamescom every year for a long time.
But the thing is, yes, BlizzCon has become so large and such its own thing that, if you already have your own content, Zion is really not a reason for you to be at anybody else.
I mean, honestly, what's the purpose of Gamescom or E3 anymore when, you know, the industry leaders feel like they don't even have to show up? If they can make their own thing and get just as much exposure,
right,
why not do your own thing?
If you can sustain your own two-day event, why would you not?
I mean,
it also gives smaller sort of indie-like companies a chance to sort of steal some of the spotlight
as
well.
That's
especially
where,
after being to PAX, that's important.
That's the silver lining from all this, is that I know we're frustrated about, you know, Sony not being at E3, you know, Blizzard not being at Gamescom, but that means that space is going to open up for somebody else. And if somebody else gets an opportunity to show off some of their games, I am happy about that.
That presupposes that everything stays stable enough that these, you know, exhibition spaces don't just fold under the weight of nobody showing up.
That's
to
the
them.
Thing. Like, yeah, it, like that's great as long as E3 continues to remain at the prestige level.
Because
it is.
Because here's the thing: is that, you know, if you want to talk about, you know, Sony or Blizzard stepping away from one of these large trade shows, if the trade show go away and now the game is make your own thing, mm-hmm, like those indie developers go back to having the unlevel playing field that we saw previous.
Well, yeah. But I think
and it's
that's
even
why,
worse.
But I think that's why it's important that PAX has made the decisions that they've made when they talk about how they represent games and game developers at PAX. If that happens, I think PAX is a con that does nothing but benefit from it, because they've already made the decision to say, no, we're leaning heavily into indie developers.
Capcom has restructured their esports ventures and media licensing into a new company, Capcom Media Ventures.
Brilliant naming, guys.
Right?
Nice job.
Nailed it. The Los Angeles-based company will manage all global esports projects outside of Japan, including the Capcom Pro Tour and Street Fighter League. In addition, the company plans to roll out collegiate and amateur tournaments later in 2019.
Yeah, here's the thing with Capcom is that, you know, really the Japanese team and a few factions of Capcom US have been helping run the esports divisions of Capcom. It really does need to be its own separate thing with its own structure that has its own funding that isn't necessarily dependent upon other divisions. So I think that this is intelligent, but if they can sustain it with just Street Fighter V, I don't know.
Good news, everyone. A new Earthworm Jim game has been announced. Better news, the entirety of the original development team is involved with the project.
That's awesome.
Bad news, everyone.
Oh, no.
It's an exclusive to the Intellivision Amico.
Why would you do this?
Yes, the game will be exclusive to Intellivision's new system, which is releasing October 10th, 2020.
So no one
would. We're never seeing this
guaranteeing
game.
Guaranteeing no one will ever play
we'll
it.
Never play this game.
I'm so bummed out. The first Earthworm Jim game in 20 years, and it's going to be on the Intellivision
and they even
Amico.
Get the original team to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
Where did they dig Tommy Tallarico out of?
I was no about idea. To say, because he did the music,
he
didn't he?
He did, yeah. Where? What hole was he hiding
I
in?
Don't know.
Bloodstained Ritual of the Night has finally gotten a release date. Following some development issues that led to delays and platforms changing, the game has finally been cleared for release, and it's sooner than we thought. Koji Igarashi's spiritual successor to Symphony of the Night will be releasing on June 18th, 2019 for Steam. Retail versions will release on June 21st for PC, Xbox One, and PS4, and finally the Switch version launches June 25th.
Oh, playing it on the Switch.
Did you see the changes?
Lit. Yeah.
Did you see the new, because originally the reason it got pushed back is everyone was mad about the art style and how it looked. It didn't look so great.
Yeah.
Wow, was that a good call?
Yeah.
It looks way better now.
Well, and this was one of the games that we got to demo out at E3.
Was.
So, you know, I understand the art style maybe being an issue for some people, but for me, the biggest thing was how it handled.
Yeah.
And it felt like Castlevania. That was
sure
the best
did.
Part.
That's
awesome.
The thing that matters.
Yeah.
Amid ongoing struggles with post-launch Anthem, members of the development team are beginning to shift to new projects, specifically the lead creators. Executive
Great.
Producer Mark Dara and lead producer Michael Gamble are leaving the project to work on Dragon Age 4.
So nothing is changing over at BioWare, thanks EA.
Nope. Why did you think that it would?
Well, because after that big expose that Kotaku did about the almost failed launch of Anthem, they were hoping that would be enough to at least make them realize that we have to shake things up a little bit.
Come on,
and that
bro.
BioWare where Magic isn't working.
This is EA. Listen, people still bought Anthem.
It's EA.
They got their money out of it.
You could take your message, write it on a frying pan, hit them upside of the head. They still wouldn't get it.
Well,
that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Joe, for the update. The Mid-Season Invitational is the first major International League of Legends tournament of the year. Action got underway yesterday, but not without its share of controversy. Joe, what's happening here?
Yeah, so as action got underway at the Mid-Season Invitational, most regions actually have reason to be happy. Fongvu Buffalo defeated Fenerbahce in their bracket to earn the right to face off against Team Liquid. Group B, Vega Squadron, is currently 2-0 and leading the pack, so if you're in the Russian region, you're feeling pretty good about that. However, one region is not having a good time, and that is the LMS region.
Yeah.
They accidentally put their stream up too early, and the host's desktop was still visible. While that in itself is not a big deal at all, the problem is what was on his desktop.
Mm-hmm.
An esports betting website was still active on the desktop, which is not a good look for a region mired in a match-fixing scandal.
Oh, no!
The host was immediately fired by Garena.
Oh, I actually thought it was going to be even worse than that.
It wasn't porn, no.
Yeah,
but it
was like some NSFW stuff,
no,
man.
For a region that is currently sitting in a match-fixing scandal, that's a bad
look. Here's the thing.
Porn might have been preferable.
Would have been better.
Porn would have been preferable as long as it was like two consenting adults.
Porn would have been a suspension.
Would have been so much more preferable.
You'd have got 14 days with pay.
That's
for porn.
So sketchy to have an esports betting website.
We're in the middle of Dragon Gate Gate.
Yeah.
And we're sitting.
Dragon Gate Squared.
Whatever. That's ongoing. That has not been resolved. You would think if you work in the LMS region that you'd be like, man, I better chill on my esports betting for the next couple weeks.
Did they fire him on camera? Because I feel like that would have been the appropriate response.
It's like the hook comes out and pulls him home.
They would have dragged him out on stage and in front of the entire MSI audience, in front of the streams, everyone. They would have shown what happened and given him his pink slip. Sort of like a public beheading, except without losing your head.
LMS hasn't even gotten to play a game yet, and they're having to deal with these headlines. For those wondering, by the way, why there was no more play tomorrow, there's actually a delay. The former president in Vietnam passed away, and they are observing a period of mourning in Vietnam. Games will resume with Group B on Sunday, May 5th, for the remainder of Group B to play.
And for those that don't know, the actual tournament is being held in Vietnam.
It is, yes.
So that's why.
By the way, Fongvu Buffalo winning their bracket. Big deal for them.
Huge
yeah, they're
deal.
Excited.
Go Buffalo!
Well, they're playing against Team Liquid next, so don't go Buffalo.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, was Ronda Rousey as Sonya Blade one of the worst casting choices in recent memory? That discussion will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Forbes did a great article on the development of Star Citizen this week. We'll give our thoughts ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Make sure you're following us on our freshly partnered Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. We've got a ton of new emotes, including each of our beautiful faces, as well as not one, but two cat emotes. Tali and Fritz, our actual cats, are now Twitch emotes, and there's only one place to get them. That's over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. For the past 7 years, we've been waiting for the release of Star Citizen. The game has become the most successful crowdfunded item in history, not counting cryptocurrency. This week, an article from Forbes came out diving into the development of Star Citizen and asking whether the game would ever see the light of day.
That's a rabbit hole to go down if I've ever seen one.
It's worth noting that, and Nate, you and I both read through this article. It's not a short article.
It is not.
Because there's a lot to cover in here.
There is. I mean, because it's gone through several phases of funding. So, you know, when we talk about, you know, it's the most successful crowdfunded item in history, that's
over a period of time.
That's completely separate from, you know, high watermarks that like Kickstarters will make, like
Critical Role,
right, or Mystery Science Theater 3000. All of that funding came from one source, but with Star Citizen, it's come from a variety of sources and has also included some of the internally developed like ships that they've put up for sale at gross and disgusting prices, by the way.
So for those who don't know what Star Citizen is, it is the brainchild of Chris Roberts, who was the guy behind games like Wing Commander back in the 90s. Some fairly well-known, you know, games back then.
Sure.
After a failed game with Microsoft, he went into the video scene. He went to Hollywood
and started making movies. Yeah.
None of them did particularly well. And he came back to...
When Lord of War with Nicolas Cage is the high point of your movie making resume.
Oh, honey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't mind that film.
I mean, it was okay, but
that's the high watermark. Like, none of the other the other four movies that he helped make didn't do any better.
So he came back onto the gaming scene in 2012 when he announced Star Citizen, a game that he had been working on for 12 months, kind of as a proof of concept, and would be kind of like the return to the heyday of space sim galactic exploration sort of games.
No Man's Sky was supposed to be.
Let's not forget the 1999 classic film Wing Commander with Freddie Prinze Jr. That was also a
colossal,
huge failure. So I mean,
you know, I'd forgotten about that.
Yeah,
that's unfortunate. So he raised over $6 million on his initial crowdfund. Since then, the project has gone on to raise almost $300 million. In various forms of crowdfunding. And here's the problem.
The game ain't done.
Well, the game was supposed to come out. Squadron 42, the single player version of the game that was supposed to come out with it, was supposed to be out in 2015. And Star Citizen was supposed to have a commercial release build done in 2016.
So here we are in 2019.
And we're in alpha still.
Early alpha. There's supposed to be something. How many star systems were promised?
It's supposed to be 100 star systems were supposed to be with the commercial version of the game. Not one of them is done yet. There are multiple planets done. There are multiple moons done. There are asteroids done. Two planets, nine moons, I think it
and
is.
And an asteroid.
And an asteroid.
Just one.
Wow.
Not a single of these star systems is done yet.
Yeah.
Oh,
now,
come on.
Yeah. So he says that despite being in alpha, and despite that this game already has more content than many release games do.
Doesn't matter if that's true or not.
Then just release it.
No, but it doesn't matter if that's true or not.
Yeah, exactly. So now people do have access to the alpha. People are able to go in and, you know, play what is done, and it is there. You can do that if you've bought in on the Kickstarter. Here's where it starts to get real scummy, because in the need to continue making more money, they have taken on the practice of selling ships that will eventually be in the game for exorbitant amounts of money.
Thousands of dollars.
Some of them are, I think the most expensive one was $3,000 to have this ship in the game.
That's a used car, man.
Exactly. That's a decent used car. Like, you can get a decent used car for that amount of money, and the amount of money people have spent. Some people have spent tens of thousands of dollars.
There was one lawsuit that was named in the article where the guy claimed over $24,000 in losses.
Right, but here's the thing, and this is what I'm saying, is that it doesn't matter how much content that game has. It has not delivered on the promise that it gave to its investors. any other company, and this is sort of the blind spot of crowdfunding in general, is the legal culpability.
Right, because any other company would have a board of investors that
exactly,
they'd be answering to
that
right
they'd be
now.
Answering to.
But there almost is no legal culpability for crowdfunding.
But that's
it's
my
the
point.
Wild, wild west.
There's no, you're not
there's
really
no
held
committee.
To any standards.
There's no board of
exactly.
investors.
Right, this is just creativity almost run amok.
There have been precious few instances where the FTC or someone has stepped
Security
in.
And Exchange
SEC, someone has yeah. stepped in. It does happen, but it's got to be
but it's got to be
way out there.
It's got to be fraud on a massive level, and until like while they're still being able to produce something
right.
there's no
they can
fraud
show we're
that's
working
happening.
On it.
Exactly.
As long as they don't ever come out and say we're scrapping the project, there is no fraud. As long as they keep working on it and keep putting out stuff, they're committing to they're doing what they committed to.
You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. I want to thank everyone listening live at our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/Checkpoint XP. We're currently talking about Star Citizen and the development hell that it's mired in. And, you know, the Forbes piece really did seem to suggest that we will never actually see a functional build of this
game. A functional
game
commercial release of it.
Of what we were promised. And I think that, like, partially because the people at Star Citizen
Cloud Imperium yeah.
have found a very effective fundraising method through offering these premiums that
and why would we stop? You keep buying them.
Exactly.
Why would we stop?
And that's the thing is people who used to work for Cloud Imperium Games have said that like this has kind of gotten to be Chris Roberts at his most problematic, where he just is over promising and he is definitely a bit of a control freak. Like, stuff isn't getting done because he keeps changing his mind about things.
And the problem is, even if you decide, well, let's just put out what we have now, even though it's not what we promised, now you can be sued for giving what you didn't promise. They have to keep going this way. This is the only thing they can do.
So my question to you is, when the air is finally out of the balloon, whether that be by
how
whether that be by the FTC stepping in
okay.
and quashing this
mm-hmm.
or by eventually them saying, look, we can't do it, which I don't know why they would ever do that. That's a horrible decision.
We'll call that spontaneous combustion.
I don't know. I think that there needs to be a larger, more visible scandal coming out of crowdfunding to make the law around crowdfunding change enough to make this illegal.
I agree.
Right. Well,
I agree.
That's my thing is if this thing would end up going nuclear or would combust, it would fundamentally change how crowdfunding works
I don't
everywhere.
Think this is
but
the
this
thing.
Is not big enough because
I don't think this is the thing.
This thing is too big. I think you've got the opposite problem. This is too big of a thing for it to eventually. Nate, you had the right of it. I think this is more likely just going to kind of peter out over time
yes.
because they're continuing to just put
no,
out.
No, but
stuff.
That's what I'm saying is that it's not big enough in terms of scandal. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay.
The amount of money is exorbitant, doesn't make any sense. But I agree in the context that this is not sexy enough to make people turn their heads and go, oh, there's a fundamental problem
like,
with crowdfunding.
Like it's got to be something that involves, the average person paying attention enough
people
to realize that there's a big problem.
People will look at this and just be like, why are you spending so much money on a video game?
You could make, I understand what you're saying, Joe, and there is a case that you could make here, but there's also enough personal responsibility that falls on the people that keep giving them money.
And not getting returns.
That makes me think, I don't know that that's going to be able to be a sell to the general public. There's got to be a bigger scandal where the corruption is easier to expose, easier to identify, and then what changes around the laws of crowdfunding will end up impacting the way Star Citizen and Cloud Imperium do business.
This will be much easier if Shenmue 3 never comes out.
I think though if mass media gets the hands on the story on the headline, game company scams players out of $40,000, that would go nuclear in the media that is eager to look for something that video games did wrong.
But
that's not enough, though.
The media looks to scapegoat video games in vastly different situations. They're looking,
money ain't one of them.
Exactly. Money, exploitation, or fraud are generally not one of them. Look at the way that the loot box conversation has taken root in mainstream culture. It really hasn't. This has been a big deal to everyone inside gaming and everyone who understands the margins around gaming and media, but in terms of mainstream media, how big has the loot box conversation really got?
Only at that one moment. You're
exactly.
Right. Exactly. It died off after that.
Exactly. And I think you would see much the same thing here, because what the media looks to ascribe blame for when it comes to video games is corruption of young people and violence.
Now, that said, you bring up an interesting point about the loot box thing. If the FTC gets heavily involved in that and starts looking into the video game industry, is crowdfunding not ripe for the FTC to look at?
Because they will investigate the whole gamut of how video games are funded, not just microtransactions. How do these games make money?
Yep.
And somebody's going to say, oh, man, I heard about this Star Citizen game. That is how it would happen.
That, I think, is much more a much more real possibility than the whole situation going nuclear.
Yeah, I just feel like at the end of the day, this is just a comparison that we've never seen outside of like a movie like Heaven's Gate in the 80s. Like there's never been something like this in video games that I can think of.
Maybe
except Nukem Forever.
It could be a big enough boondoggle, but you know, I see that being a very difficult sell. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, NetherRealm is facing a lot of backlash for casting Ronda Rousey as Sonya Blade. We'll discuss why ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
And welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. You get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code, so sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. NetherRealm is mired in backlash against Mortal Kombat 11. No, it's not because of the gameplay or the violence or even sleazy microtransactions. People are upset about their choice of casting Ronda Rousey as Sonya Blade. By the way, delayed reaction syndrome much?
Thank you. On this very show, when we talked about it, we were all like, hey, she's a fan of Sonya Blade. This could probably be good.
Yeah.
So what happened suddenly?
Well, when you hear the performance, I think that's the first thing that makes you go, why? Why'd they do this? Because she put up an abysmal performance.
All right, listen, as the only person here, I think, that has actually played Mortal Kombat 11, right?
How bad is it?
Oh, it's horrid.
Hang on. But you knew this already. Everyone already knew this.
See,
we saw her ability to talk in WWE. She's not
here
a talker. Keep her as far away from the microphone as you can.
No, but here is what my takeaway at first was. I thought she was doing motion capture and facial animation capture for Sonya Blade. Once I saw that and I said, that makes sense. You get somebody who is good at physicality doing the physicality part of playing that particular character.
Makes sense.
And then I heard that she was the voice actor. And it did not work.
It did not work. And it's even worse, too, when you consider who the previous voice actress for Sonya Blade was. You realize it was the voice of Sarah Kerrigan in StarCraft?
Oh,
one of the all-time great
didn't need to
villain
change
voices.
Now that said,
she's currently an actress on Lucifer, so she may just be doing that now. So
that's,
I don't know.
That's fair.
That's fine, but you give her the money.
But here's the problem. Okay.
I guarantee you she was cheaper. She'd have been cheaper to get to do this game than Ronda Rousey was.
And here's,
I guarantee that.
And here's the thing, is that we saw this exact same thing play out with Metal Gear Solid 5 when David Hayter was taken out of the role of Snake and Kiefer Sutherland was recast.
There was a narrative reason for that. It's not the same Snake.
But he still voiced Big Boss, the original Big Boss. It's not like that scene they brought David Hayter in to make that distinction.
Yeah, that's true.
Listen, and I'm willing to give Kojima the wiggle room to say maybe that could have been a creative decision that paid off later had he been able to continue to work on Metal Gear. I don't know. But what I do know through talking to David Hayter about this is that this is a bit of a sore subject because this happens a lot in movies and is now starting to make its way to the video game industry, where you get someone who comes in and works up a character, spends a lot of time working up that character. Maybe they're being paid scale. Maybe they're being paid whatever their fee is.
Right.
But then, you know, they develop this character and they spend time recording for it, and then they bring in someone with star power and mass
with
appeal to basically mimic those tapes that you've already laid.
But here's the thing. Who the hell bought MK11 just because Ronda Rousey?
So here's the thing. That's a good point.
It is. And I think the thing about that is no one. No one bought Ronda this game because Ronda Rousey isn't. What they
Ronda
do it for
Rousey might have
is to get every sports news outlet in the country to carry that headline and effectively advertise Mortal Kombat 11. That's the reason behind the move. I don't know.
It's Mortal Kombat. Like, here's the thing, dude. It's a new Mortal Kombat. Do they think that it wasn't going to sell? Get out of here.
Well, you put a marketing budget behind it still.
I mean, I guarantee you
that whatever they paid her, if they'd have spent it in raw marketing, it'd have moved the needle about the same.
Yeah, I totally agree. I don't understand this practice of bringing someone in who has star power so they can give an objectively worse performance. I mean, even Kiefer Sutherland, who is a trained actor, was not able to deliver the performance that David Hayter was known for as Snake.
Remember Dinklebot, Peter Dinklage, great actor. They replaced all of his lines in Destiny.
Exactly.
They did. So I've got a bit to say about this as an openly LGBT person. Obviously, I don't have the greatest opinions, or I don't share very many opinions with Ronda Rousey. But, I mean, I feel like for all the people out there who are saying, well, I'm not going to buy Mortal Kombat 11 now.
You weren't going to buy it in the first place.
You fall into one of two categories. Either you weren't going to buy it in the first place, or you better take a real good look at the things in your life that you do support.
Sure.
Because I got news for you.
It's not a lot of stuff you'd be buying.
1 billion people watch the World Cup. FIFA is maybe the most despicable, heinous, evil organization in the history of this planet. I watch the NFL. I watch football. They are evil. I can't sit here and be like, I'm not playing Mortal Kombat 11. Ronda Rousey is in it. I just watched WrestleMania, which featured Ronda Rousey heavily and is run by the WWE, who we all know they have a sterling record when it comes to moral high ground.
Well, at least Saudi Arabia would think so.
I'm sure they would. So I'm just saying, if you're out there and you feel like you can't enjoy Mortal Kombat 11 because Ronda Rousey was in it, listen, I get it. Listen, I'm gender fluid. I get it. I understand why you'd be upset about it. But there's a whole lot of people who put a whole lot of work into Mortal Kombat 11, whether it's the esports side of it, whether it's the design team, the character design team, the gameplay team.
All the other voice actors?
The other 29 to 30 voice actors in the game.
Here's the amazing part about it, is that when you run down the voice actor list, in Mortal Kombat 11.
It's a great list.
It's a great list.
It's such a great list.
They have so many people. Look, I just pulled it up myself, right? They got Troy Baker, who's also the voice of Spike Spiegel.
They do?
Right.
Yeah. Jennifer Hale.
Jennifer Hale.
Who's Jennifer Hale?
Right?
Well, she's Jennifer just been Hale everyone
is
ever.
Is the villain.
Nice. Yep.
She's the villain. You got, who else? You got Steve Blum. Actually, no. Steve Blum is the voice of Spike Spiegel.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got a who's
it's a
who.
Great
Phil
list.
Lamar.
Troy Baker was he?
Everyone else.
Yeah. Like he's been.
He's one of the four people who gets every role.
Yes.
Was he? He wasn't Nathan Drake, was he?
No. That was Nolan North.
That was Nolan North. Yeah. I get the two mixed up.
He's one of the other one. Nolan North and Troy Baker are interchangeable.
Yeah.
The four horsemen of male voice acting.
So you got Nolan North, Troy Baker, Sean Schimmel, and Yuri Lowenthal.
That's it. You got it. You nailed it.
And so you got the guy who originally played Shang Tsung in Mortal Kombat 11 playing the voice of Shang Tsung. In the Mortal Kombat movie. Yeah, playing Shang Tsung in MK11. Dude, there's so many people they clearly reached out to. They didn't have to go get Ronda Rousey.
I'm just there was a lot of different choices to get Ronda Rousey. I don't know why they went out of their way to grab her when
it's
there's
a bad
clearly,
call.
It's just not a good call. And for,
they could have had Ed Boon voice Sonya Blade and I'd have liked it more
for a variety of reasons, but mostly because the performance was utter garbage. And even after you get that performance, you can listen to it back and go, yeah, maybe not.
Like, maybe this is a bad call.
Yeah, maybe we do something else with this. All right, well, listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that Ronda Rousey's involvement in MK11 is problematic? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a full archive of episodes, podcasts, and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Producing and booking help from Christine Solis. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Better. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at checkpointxp.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.